The Christian faith is not boring.
Pastor Jonathan Fisk talking about his new book, Echo, Unbroken Truth Worth Repeating Again.
The Christian faith is so stunning and radical that it's amazing to me that we have our children sitting in pews and classrooms yawning and bored with it. And all I could do is say that we've got to figure out a way to repeat this thing, to echo it again, and really reawaken our imaginations to its truth.
Learn more about Echo by Pastor Jonathan Fisk at issuesetc.org. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. There was a recent column in the New York Times. It was titled Job Description for the Dumbest Job Ever. The job it was talking about was motherhood. Now, we've seen a lot of mocking of men, of husbands, of fathers in kind of the left-leaning media, but mothers? Well, I guess the time has come. Joining us to respond to that recent column in the New York Times on motherhood, Joy Pullman, managing editor of The Federalist, author of the book The Education Invasion, and a recent column for The Federalist titled Don't Believe the New York Times, Motherhood is So Much More Than the, quote, Dumbest Job Ever. Joy, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Oh, hi. Thank you.
We've grown accustomed to the New York Times and similar left-leaning media poking fun at fathers and husbands and men in general, but moms, what's next? Baseball and apple pie?
Actually, I'm sure there's something wrong with both of those things as well. It is kind of sad that, you know, some people seem to have no capacity to enjoy the wonderful things about life. I mean, that's kind of seems to be the character trait of the people that we call colloquially social justice warriors. Well, actually, I'm sure it comes from the kind of the Marxist higher criticism school where everyone who goes, you know, into academia is taught to unmask, you know, the oppression and the injustice underneath everything. So motherhood actually has been under attack for a really long time. It's not a new thing. I mean, I grew up, you know, even though I grew up in a Christian home where my family loved having family, I got the idea that it was a very negative thing too, just by being in our culture. So, you know, it's been around a lot longer than before I was a kid as well.
So tell us about the piece in the New York Times.
Well, it was supposed to be, you know, a humorous article. It's kind of a fictional job description, and it literally is headlined, you know, the dumbest job in the world. And the job title is, you know, mother, and then it goes on to list, you know, responsibilities, expectations, all in kind of the form of a job posting. And, you know, I thought, you know, there are some funny things to say about being a mom. There's sarcastic things to say about it. It's a really tough job. You know, there's lots of avenues for making fun of it. But I did think that there were on a number of counts. The author took her fun into a really kind of a dark turn. I mean, there's a good way to make fun of things in a bad way. And in a lot of counts, the author was just, you know, rude to the concept of mother, trivializing it. Rather than, again, poking fun at the things that ought to be made fun of about being a mom, like it's crazy and your kids, you know. I mean, so it's summer, you know, my kids are running around tracking dirt all over every single surface of the house. I mean, there's a lot of humor in things like that, but I don't think there's a lot of humor in making your husband sound stupid or making other motherhood sound stupid and saying, oh my goodness, you know, why do I ever do this ridiculous thing that nobody cares about? That's not really, you know, I don't think that's funny or accurate.
So, what did you find in the piece that rang true?
There were a couple of points. So, for example, she wrote a paragraph about how, you know, it's really hard to stay on top of fashion, I think, as a normal person in general, but also specifically as a mom. I mean, for me, you know, I keep having babies, and so I have about four different boxes of clothes that I need to fit in, and I am always having a hard time figuring out which box I'm in right now of size. There's a bit of humor there, but she kind of put this twist on it, you know, in the end, where she pointed out how, you know, we're never really in style. What are we supposed to do? But then the conclusion, of course, to that was, you know, moms are just completely outdated. And I'm thinking, well, no, just because, you know, moms have some technical difficulties because of how busy we are and how much we're giving to other people with our lives, that doesn't mean that, you know, we're outdated and that we're culturally irrelevant, which was the way that she took it. It means that, you know, we are actually focusing on a lot more important things than fashion, and maybe somebody could give us a break over the fact that maybe our clothes don't exactly fit right now.
Did she offer any kind of helpful advice for mothers who might find themselves commiserating with her?
No, and that was, I mean, I think that was the thing. It was kind of, I think people by now are used to, there's a whole kind of genre of angry mommy blog posts, you know, where moms get together. And I mean, I've done it in person with moms. I've read some of these articles and I've laughed at them, you know, again, because it can be very stressful to do, you know, the job that we have in raising our kids. So it's good to vent sometimes and let some of our frustrations out so that we can get back to our lives with a little bit of a lightened load. But this author seemed to kind of really stay in the wallowing mode, just saying, just because it's so hard and just because it's confusing and there's a lot of things that don't make sense about the way my kids treat me, therefore, you know, motherhood is stupid and nobody should do it and so on and so forth. And I don't really think, you know, that's the right takeaway from the frustrations of motherhood. I think humor, especially something printed in a marquee publication like the New York Times, could speak to moms where they are in the midst of their difficulties and help lighten their load rather than add to it by essentially saying, you're doing all this work for basically no reason. Everybody else in the world is having so much more fun than you are, and there's really no point, you know, to all the effort that you're putting in to raise your kids.
Was there any sense, and I think any thinking person who has children and then begins to raise them hands-on, excluding, of course, people who just farm their kids off to hired help, there's a realization that comes eventually is, wow, my mom had to do this too. I've had my daughter who has new kids say several times, I don't know how your mom did it. She's speaking about my mother raising five boys in a pre-internet three channels on TV age.
I actually had the exact same moment in my life when I started having kids. I remember distinctly being, you know, in late elementary, early middle school, you know, saying to myself, oh my goodness, my mom sure has a short temper sometimes, or oh my goodness, why would my mom be taking a nap in the middle of the day? And now that I am a mom of small children, I'm going, holy cow, I'm not surprised at all. And I wondered that she didn't take more naps and, you know, and beat us all soundly and send us to bed like the late, you know, the old woman who lived in a shoe. So, I mean, I totally sympathize with women pointing out that, you know, this job, I mean, for me, it demands more out of me than many of the other professionally challenging things that I've done. And I've done a lot of, you know, really difficult professionally things, you know, career-wise as well as, like, academically. But and mothering is way more challenging by comparison. I mean, I think it would, you know, it's kind of like feels like the Marines of life, you know. If you can come out of that and your kids turn into decent people, you really have, yeah, an accomplishment to be proud of, I think. And so, yeah, there is a lot there that moms need to process, and we need a lot of support. And again, you know, a little bit of venting is something that's going to happen naturally and even can help, you know, help us get through the days. Just a couple of weeks ago, I mean, I had my newborn was sick, and we spent several nights not able to sleep together because she was so congested that every time she lay down, she would empty out the contents of her stomach because it was choking her. So that is extremely, extremely challenging psychologically, you know, emotionally and mentally. And so moms could use a little bit of cutting loose. But again, rather than saying to a mom, you do all of that and it's basically for no reason because you're ugly, you're not like that chick little single lady sipping her latte gracefully, you know, over there at the table reading a nice quiet book, that doesn't help at all. You know, rather could say, look, you know, you're going through all of this and there's really something meaningful that you're doing and that we are all really grateful for you know, the trouble that you go through to raise human beings, to contribute to your society, and to become, honestly, a better person. Mothering is, like I said, since it is such a difficult thing, if it teaches us, you know, it can help us have much better character to grow as people, as human beings, as citizens. And if I think that kind of positive approach is something that elevates and is honest about the truth of motherhood, which is that it is a good thing, and people ought to be praising it and thanking women for, you know, the things that we do to help make society function.
It's obviously work. There's no doubt about it that motherhood, full-time motherhood especially, is work. Is it helpful to think about it as a job, kind of the way that it is framed in this New York Times piece, as employment, so to speak?
Well, I think sometimes it can be and sometimes it can't be. I mean, because there are aspects of it. I mean, sometimes it's a helpful comparison, you know, but you know how every metaphor, it never fits right exactly. And there are some very big things about motherhood that are not at all like a job, but they're really more like a vocation. So if you compare it to, you know, another, people often use the word vocation to describe the ministry, the pastoral office. And it's the same thing, you know, I think it, that's a better fitting thing, because when you're called to the pastoral office, yeah, people pay you, you know, because your family has to eat, you know, as a pastor, and we are expressing our gratitude for being fed God's word, you know, by our pastor and so forth. But there's a lot more to being a pastor that money really can't, you know, it can't express that pastors are providing to their flock. You know, how do you financially compensate someone placing Jesus' own body and blood into your mouth and help, you know, and facilitating his forgiveness of sins and bringing you out to eternal salvation? You know, money just cannot at all compare, you know, to that. It's just kind of a token. And I think in a similar way, you know, while you can say, wow, moms work extremely hard, you know, if we pay them to do everything that we do, we'd have to pay them $90,000 a year or something. I mean, that kind of helps put dollar figures, I guess, on it. But again, it really pales into comparison to what mothers do, because we give these things out of love, out of obligation, out of duty, and out of joy, you know, and our kids are never going to pay us back, but they oughtn't, you know, they're not supposed to pay us back. It's just part of the vocation. And so there's something I think that it adds to the conversation, but it really, it kind of can trivialize what a mother and a father bring to their children, you know, because money is just a material, tangible thing, and motherhood is kind of a transcendent sort of thing and a gift that can't be brought down to dollars and cents.
Joy Pullman is our guest. She's managing editor of The Federalist. We're talking about a recent New York Times motherhood column, kind of mocking motherhood, and she's authored a piece for The Federalist titled "Don't Believe the New York Times Motherhood is So Much More than the Dumbest Job Ever." We'll talk more about that New York Times piece with her. Then Dr. Uwe Simonetta will join us to talk about the displaying of crosses in all public buildings in Bavaria, Germany.
Children are a human right. Children are a lifestyle choice. Children are angels. Children are a nuisance. There are not enough children to sustain the economy. There are too many children to sustain the planet. Need some clarity amidst all the shouting? Check out the May issue of the Lutheran Witness magazine. Hear from moms and dads, pastors and teachers about what it really means to receive and value the gift of children in our lives. Visit cph.org/witness to subscribe today. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective.
Memoria Press now offers 6 levels of the Simply Classical curriculum for students with special needs. These full-year curriculum packages for children with learning challenges enable you to teach reading, writing, arithmetic, art, poetry, science, history, Latin, literature, and Christian studies with incremental classical methods. Visit classicalspecialneeds.com and enter promo code LPR17 to save on resources for your home or school.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and laypeople worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy publishes Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatics series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up to receive their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com, and like them on Facebook, facebook.com/lutheracademy.
Most Christian schools today use the same books, teaching methods, and structure as America's failing anti-Christian public schools. We owe it to our fathers and descendants in the faith to offer a distinctively Lutheran education. Redeemer Classical School in Fort Wayne, Indiana, offers a time-tested education in the great books of the Western world and the Catechism and Confessions of the Lutheran Church. Visit fortwayneclassical.com to learn more about our curriculum, enroll your children, or sponsor the education of young Lutherans. That's fortwayneclassical.com.
Education and edification. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Do you find yourself fixing the theology on store-bought greeting cards when you give them to friends and family? Put away that Sharpie. EdCruesome.com has greeting cards, art, jewelry, certificates, church banners, housewares, and all sorts of fantastic gifts that proclaim Christ crucified for us. Whether you're a value shopper or a collector, you'll find something at adcrucem.com. That's adcrucem.com.
Oh Lord, open my lips.
Listen to chapel services live, weekday mornings from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Glory. Morning Chapel from Cramer Chapel. Live weekday mornings at 9 Central, 10 Eastern, 8 Mountain, and 7 Pacific at issuesetc.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're responding to a recent column in the New York Times on motherhood. Joy Pullman is our guest. The gift of children is the theme of the May issue of the Lutheran Witness magazine. It contains columns from Issues Etc. regular guests Matt Harrison, Peter Scare, and Tom Egger. Check it out at cph.org/witness. Interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran perspective, the Lutheran Witness magazine, cph.org/witness. Joy, let's talk about the general thrust of the column in the New York Times, which you say is rather dark and cynical, concluding with the notion that what mothers do is really kind of unimportant, has no impact on anything. And I think that kind of conclusion kind of forgets what motherhood is all about. It certainly is important to children, to the family, and to society in general.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and I'm a young mom, but I tried to how to expand my understanding of my vocation by listening to, you know, older, wiser women whose children I have seen grow up and become decent people like I hope my children will someday be. And so that is what gives me encouragement while I'm sitting here, you know, dealing with babies throwing up on me all night long and, you know, kids smearing dirt all over my walls and I can't keep my bathroom clean and it's not because I'm not cleaning it. So I think if that is all that you're looking at, it is really easy to say, what is the point? You know, because people often nowadays think about motherhood as just one of many lifestyle choices. So if you think of it that way, you would have to be kind of insane to choose motherhood, you know, because, again, you could be have clean clothes on. You could, you know, be getting up after a nice night of 8 hours of full sleep. You could have quiet in your day. You know, you could not be constantly interrupted 24/7. If you just look at it in terms of ease and comfort, motherhood sounds absolutely crazy. But if you look at it in terms of, you know, like you were talking about, well, contribution to society, a gift, you know, a way, compare it to something like the Marines, to be the best person you possibly can be, to be challenged in a way like you've never been challenged before and have an opportunity to fail and try again and fail and try again and then gradually rise to the occasion and become a person who can handle insanity with grace. And again, someone who can learn to really love deeply and give to other people more than you ever knew would be possible and that you really weren't capable of when you started the journey of motherhood, as well as the world needs children. You know, who do you think is going to care for old people in their old age? And it's not just in terms of, you know, handing over money for Social Security, but, you know, elderly people, need, they're humans, right? They need companionship. They deserve companionship. They're humans made in God's image. You know, if there aren't any children, there's nobody around, you know, to assist them, you know, and with the dignity that is right as a child of God that they deserve in their frail and elderly years. There's just so many things that motherhood gives to the world that, again, if you're just thinking of it in terms of, you know, what I do for my own self to make myself feel happy, well, obviously, you know, that is a very limited frame. But if you expand it to think about the great gift that you're giving to both yourself and everyone around you who comes in contact with your kids, who is being supported by your kids socially as well as economically, it's really an immeasurable gift to the world.
I have two concerns in light of a piece like this in the New York Times. One is that it breeds a kind of cynicism with the readers who may find themselves in this situation and simply say to themselves, well, it's not supposed to be this way. A motherhood isn't supposed to be this hard. It isn't supposed to be this taxing on me personally. And there is, you well know, there's a huge trend toward encouraging, especially mothers, to seek their own happiness above that of their children, which accounts sometimes, I think, for a lot of divorces. That's what concerns me, is that it can breed and feed into what's already a trend in our society. And that's mothers just hating what they do.
And that is that's absolutely true, and I have absolutely felt that in my life as a mother. And that is why I think, again, you know, people should be free to express their opinions, and there is some truth in what, you know, this mom is saying, that, you know, she feels frustrated. You know, she's expressing it kind of in a dark sort of humor. But again, for a publication like the New York Times to kind of give legitimacy to that as if that is a whole picture or if that's the message that really needs to be broadcast about motherhood, I think that's really kind of a misuse of their platform and the opportunity that they have to reach people and to encourage mothers. What mothers really need is not saying, wow, you're such an idiot for letting, you know, your children, you know, be able to emerge from the womb, you know, sucker. You know, wow, gee, thanks. Instead, what they need is to say, hi, you know, I was thinking about you the other day, and I brought over a batch of muffins that I just made. You know, I just thought your family would enjoy eating them. Or I have another mom friend who does this all the time. Hey, I'm going to the park. Could I take your kids for an hour? That is like the greatest thing ever, and it's just one little hour, and it's nice. I can get my laundry done. I can drink my cup of coffee in peace. You know, so supportive help, you know, to moms in the really difficult times. Even it doesn't have to be something grand and big, something simple like that. Really communicates to mothers as well as saying it verbally. You know, we have Mother's Day coming up, and, you know, but not just on Mother's Day, but in general where our culture says to mothers, I affirm you, the work that you're doing is meaningful, we need it, we're here to help you. That's really the kind of message that moms need to hear. And that can be made in a humorous and silly way. You know, I think kids are ridiculous and they deserve to have fun made out of them. And that's one of the things that helps me keep going as a mom is making fun of my own kids internally and externally. But again, there's affirming and positive ways to do that in ways that tell the truth about what moms are giving to the world rather than really kind of conveying to them negativity and lies and having them believe things that discourage them to the point where they don't want to do this very hard task that has, but I mean, despite, I mean, and look, you know, it is hard, but there is so much joy there. The rewards that, again, my kids are really little, and I understand this is the hardest time, but like I have learned to see and derive so much joy from even this time when everything is apparently at peak crazy, and it's going to be uphill from here. And that's the sort of thing that I have learned from other moms who have been through it. And that's the thing that I think moms need to hear who are feeling that way, because that's what gets us able to get through this time and to see, you know, our little ones smiling at us, being grateful for showing up for them, you know, at 2 a.m. after, you know, a really long night and so on and so forth. There is a lot of joy here, and the women need to be affirmed and able to see that that's really there and it's not all messes.
Finally, then, some people might read this and say, look, this poor woman just simply needs to go out and get a job and send her kids to daycare. That's the best solution. That's the best solution for everyone. And that does seem to be what at least our government encourages by way of how to raise your kids. What's your response?
Well, I am a working mom. I work from home when I work around my kids, but I do have to say that I appreciate the mental break that I get when, you know, it's my work hours that I get to switch on to something grown up and think about ideas. But at the same time, you know, my husband and I have deliberately constructed our life so that we can care for our kids almost entirely by ourselves, because we do really think that kids need their own moms and dads in their lives personally. And every family has to, you know, work that sort of thing out for themselves. It depends on, you know, the choice might sometimes be, and usually not in America, but sometimes it's between, you know, wow, well, the kids need shoes and they need food, so we're going to do something, you know, we're going to make the trade-off in order to make this family life work and so forth. So, of course, families have to negotiate that for themselves. But most of the moms, I mean, we see in polls from the Pew Research Forum and other places that the vast majority of women, especially moms of little kids, they want to be with their kids. They feel rewarded enough by that relationship despite all the troubles, you know, that is something that we do want to do. We do enjoy it enough in order to make that commitment. But I think, I mean, society tells us, you know, kind of pushes us in the other direction, tells us to ignore our instincts and our love for our kids and our devotion and our desire to be with them, and it kind of shames that aspect of ourselves. And again, I've felt both sides of this. I have felt like, wow, I really like being in the adult professional world, but I've also felt it is a better good to me to trade away that adult time for a temporary, you know, period in order to be with my own children, because they're never going to get that life back. So what I really think is that, first of all, society needs to especially affirm motherhood, because there's really all the research shows that the very best environment for a child is with his or her own mother as, you know, much as possible when the kid is especially little. And so, you know, we need to be telling moms, we are here to help you make that work, the ideal situation for your family and for your kids. But the other thing is, I think really government just needs to get out of the way for families to make their own arrangements among themselves. So, for example, we know that moms prefer to have family care for their kids, if they, you know, if and when they need, you know, someone caring for their kids, even just for, you know, date night babysitting. People prefer, you know, neighbors caring for their kids, people that the children know, not to be kind of in a group center somewhere, which is what government programs tend to push kids into. So instead of, you know, kind of trying to get in the way of what moms want for themselves, government in society in general should be affirming, you know, the difficulty of the job that they're doing and affirming their ability to make their own choices and make their own family arrangements, you know, and then, you know, to pay for them themselves, to support them themselves and have their family and community, you know, come alongside them rather than forcing others to subsidize particular government-favored lifestyles, whatever that might be.
Joy Pullman is managing editor of The Federalist and author of The Education Invasion and a recent column for The Federalist titled Don't Believe the New York Times, Motherhood is So Much More Than the Dumbest Job Ever. You can read it under the Listen On Demand page at issuesetc.org. Thanks, Joy.
Thank you.
Dr. Uwe Simonetto will be our guest on the other side of the break. He's a native of Germany. We're going to get his thoughts on a recent move by Bavaria, Germany, to have crosses displayed in all public buildings. Stay tuned.
Would you like to help a college or seminary student attend the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference? You can purchase a conference scholarship for a contribution of $120 to Issues Etc. You can donate online at issuesetc.org/scholarship, or you can make your $120 check payable to Issues Etc., write scholarship in the memo line, and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234.
40 Years Greatly Blessed is this year's theme at Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville, Illinois. We engage young adults in a Christ-centered environment and provide an alternative to secular public high schools. Please help us provide tuition assistance to more students by making a special 40th anniversary tax-deductible gift at melhs.org and click on the giving page. Or call me, Dr. Jay Krause, principal, at 618-656-0043.
Listen to what you want, when you want. You're listening to Issues Etc.
LCMS Disaster Response provides guidance and assistance to congregations who seek to proclaim the gospel and show mercy in the wake of disasters. We can bring capacity to your congregation through on-site assessment, volunteer training and congregation preparedness, and through grants direct to your congregation. For more information, follow us on Facebook, keyword LCMS Disaster Response, or visit our website at lcms.org/disaster. That's lcms.org/disaster.
Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, is the Lutheran Federal Credit Union Ministry of the Month. During May, if you open a Lutheran FCU loan to meet your financial needs, or if you use your Lutheran FCU credit card for a qualifying amount of purchases, Lutheran FCU will give you cash back and give that same amount of money to Concordia Theological Seminary. Learn more at LutheranFCU.org. Lutheran Federal Credit Union, LutheranFCU.org.